Holy shit. Welcome back, guys. Happy New Year.
Excellent start to the new year.
Happy 2025.
Start out 2025 strong.
I try.
Holy shit, it's 2025.
There's a lot to explain about. The fact that it's a new year, it's 2025, as we mentioned. Also, we're back with more Mothership. So that should be another holy shit moment. I'm Cody, and this is Corporate Crash Course. I will be your warden again this evening, once and always. Yes, Jocelyn, the five of us have returned. We have awakened Nick from his cryo tank in the basement.
We got him reset.
Yep.
Everything except the hair growth.
Yeah. We tried working on stopping that, but in the end we couldn't be bothered. Small sacrifices. So yes, as Jocelyn mentioned, I'm joined tonight by my four amazing friends, Chris, Nick, Mike, and Zoe, and we are back the same crab time, same crab place to hopefully finish off whatever the fuck is going on in another bug hunt. Everybody, how's everybody feeling for 2025 so far?
Very great. High expectations.
Personally optimistic. Regarding Mothership, terrified.
I would say that the last week has been the best week of the year so far.
Oh, that's good.
Holy week, Mike.
That's the joke, Zoe. Thank you.
Oh, God.
You know, comedy is always the best when you explain it.
You think I understand how comedy works? I didn't go to comedy school.
Oh my god, we didn't either.
Or quality.
We all went to the opposite of comedy school. Anyway.
I don't know, you know Rowan Atkinson.
Actually, yeah, that's true. Also, Dolph Lundgren. Chemical engineer.
I did not know that one.
Yeah.
Yes. They make a great joke about it in The Expendables 2, I believe. Anyway. No, Hillary, we did not go to charm school. We went to engineering school, which is also the opposite of charm school, but thank you.
I didn't go to engineering school. I was raised by witches, so...
Zoe may be charm school then.
Yeah.
I was an art student in a school. I was mostly known for engineering, so.
Yep. That's why we picked him up. At Waterloo, they do this really weird tradition, specifically with the engineering students, where on like the end of your first week, they run what's called the Adopt an Art Student program. And you walk out into the main courtyard, and they have all these very like doe-eyed looking art students. And you're assigned an art student to basically, like, you know, mentally break down by exposing them to your workload and such like that. I'm going to stop this story. This wasn't going anywhere. Anyway, we're playing Mothership. I was trying to come up with a dumb anecdote for why I know Chris, but we lived in the same residence. That's about it.
Pretty much.
And yeah, so here we go. We're gonna jump in. Does anybody want to do the recap, or do you want me to do it? Great. Following that awkward silence.
I was gonna say Nick usually does our recaps for us.
I do have the notes. I was gonna say I could run it through. I kind of do want to hear what you would add though, because it might foreshadow what's gonna happen tonight.
Good point.
But do you want me to?
How about fine? You hit the highs, okay. And I'll come in with the lows, and we'll see if we meet in the middle here.
Okay.
Gonna highlight all our failures.
We were, as a crew, assigned, hired to go check in on a terraforming colony that I believe had gone quiet for a while. I don't think they ever got a distress signal out. I think they had just gone quiet for a little while. We could not contact them when we arrived in orbit, so we came down to check out their compound, found it mostly abandoned, had a few interactions with the reason why they had gone quiet, the crabs, which do have a name, Carcinids. We explored the compound. We did find some living personnel there. We actually recovered Chris's character. In the med bay there. As
he's
well
not
as
not arrogant and full of himself whatsoever.
Oh, not at all. He's very humble.
Uncovered a few... the most humble.
The best at being humble.
The best at being humble.
Uncovered a few clues as to what went on. You know, a birthday party happened that was maybe one of the lows. And then we eventually sorted out a way to depart the compound, having no way to return to our ship, and made it to, I believe, the site of the terraformer, where we found the remaining survivors, and we were debating on where to go next, what to do next, to either be able to contact the outside galaxy or get ourselves off the planet.
If I remember correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, there were basically two factions still at play in the where we arrived. One was the scientists who wanted to, I didn't write this down, so I'm going to say study the carcinids, and the other was the military personnel
wanted
to do something else. I don't remember what their goals were.
Yes. So if we jump in, thanks for that, Nick. That was a good summary. I heard it or not, but I did want to mention again that Taylor patched into the comms and had experienced the shriek last session, which
I was hoping you forgot about that.
No, it's written in bold in my notes. Why would I forget it?
It's the only thing he wanted to remember.
you wanted to do it anyway.
Yeah, because yeah, someone here may not understand how communications arrays work, Cody.
Look, I was a nano engineer, okay?
I know.
I understand small things.
Taylor is a communications expert.
Well, maybe your communications expert missed a class.
Well, maybe he's the warden, he does what he wants.
There you go. That's the correct answer. So you guys, you made your way over to the dam, which is the terraforming station. On your way there, you ran into some karks, which attacked your APC. They were luckily distracted by a group, who you found out, when you got there, were run by one HM3 Brookman, which I believe you guys are referring to the military faction. They'd like to get the hell out. Their plan was basically to get to what they call the tower, which is a larger comms array for the entire island and or the entire planet, and his hope was to be able to call in a dropship to come and help get everybody out. You had another group, which I believe two of you wanted to follow, ran by one Dr. Edom, who was one of your main squeezes that you were trying to, you know, pick up and bring off planet. She wanted to recover some research from the lab.
I believe we were supposed to get Kaplan.
You're right, and you found Kaplan dead.
Yeah, yes. Kaplan was our liaison.
Well, I think he was our target. Contact. Your main contact, yeah. One of the people you were. No, he wasn't target one of the you were supposed to get out.
Target was Edom or the android.
Correct. Yeah, Edom or the android's memory core.
Yeah.
Correct. Company property. We don't care about his personality, just his chip. And then the last group was run by Sergeant Valdez, trying to their main mission was basically to try and go down and repair the reactor. There's a storm on the horizon, and they want to make sure that your group is able to kind of weather it, at least for the moment. And that means trying to jumpstart the reactor to keep things going. As I believe, and I hope I hit it when you guys came in here. Oh no, the power's still on, but I guess it could be better. So, I believe we left off last session with two of you being Roy and Chet, wanting to go with Dr. Edom to check out the lab, and Taylor and Penn wanting to go to the reactor with Valdez. Does that still stand, or do you guys want to change your mind?
No, I'm sticking with the main mission. Follow Dr. Edom.
I'm on team.
Check out that lad.
Definitely on the keep us alive train.
So there's team survival and team mission, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to start out with the group following one Dr. Edom. Basically, the way that I believe I had the scene play out, or I'm going to stop it this way anyway. Essentially, the four of you kind of got out of your APC. You were talked to by these kind of three people. Valdez came up as Edom was talking to you already, mentioned the reactor, and I'm basically seeing it in my head as Edom kind of goes, oh, well, fine, I'm going down anyway. I'm going to go recover what I need to anyway, so screw you guys. She turns and starts walking away. And Roy and Chet, I'm assuming, basically just kind of beeline right after her.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Hold up.
Great. Nothing else matters. We're following that doctor. Blinders up.
So, she leads you over to... Sure that I visualize this right so that I don't describe it wrong. She leads you over to a big elevator, and as she pushes the button to descend, she turns around and then kind of is startled, just like, oh, sorry, I didn't realize anybody was coming with me.
I'm pretty sure we said it back there. I could have been wrong. I'm pretty sure we said it. Did we say it?
Well, no, I mean, if you did, I would have heard it, so you couldn't have, you must have said it.
Oh, I guess we were using our inside voices. Anyway, yeah, we're joining with.
Mission is to recover Dr. Edom, so we will follow Dr. Edom.
Well, I mean, I'm a person that can't really be recovered unless I'm, like, dead, but... You okay there? You're making me mildly uncomfortable.
I mean, you're hurt. Me?
She's staring at Roy when she says that.
Oh.
Is it because I don't blink?
Yeah, that would be it.
I can look away every 8 seconds. Decide.
Okay, by this point, you're in the elevator. You're going down. You hear some nice muzak playing. You get to the bottom. The door's open. And she starts walking you down a kind of tight hallway. That only has two doors. There's a door basically right on the right-hand side as you've kind of come out of the elevator. And there's another one on the left further down. She walks down to the one on the left and opens the door.
I follow closely, 2 feet behind her.
I'll try not. I'm trying to not make anyone ask uncomfortable, so I'm gonna like go a little bit further than that. Just get like 3, maybe 3.5 feet.
She gets to the door, doesn't realize Roy's following so closely, opens it, turns around, and is just like, Jesus.
Roy, I think we need to work on your social skills. I could be wrong, but
Social skills are not of use.
Okay, then.
So look, she opens the door, the light kind of comes on. You see a fairly pristine looking lab, I guess. The work is just kind of out, but nothing is like thrown around in any kind of disarray. It's like people have been in here working, gone up, got lunch, would have been coming back or whatnot. And she kind of goes in and is just kind of like, okay, look, I need like 5 minutes. And then we can hopefully be out of here. All right.
Hey, fair enough. We could give it 5 minutes.
Just, I don't know, look around, make yourself useful. In the room she turns to, so as you come into the room, on the left side, there is another door. And the door, the sign on the door basically says clean room. There's a little keypad outside of it. She immediately walks up and starts trying to activate the door with her key card. But it keeps kind of just like failing on her. Boom, boom. She's kind of like, shh. Look, so maybe could one of you guys like help me out with this, maybe? I think the work that I need is in there.
Well, I mean, I can work my magic. I'm pretty skilled with some mechanical repair sorts. Let me have a look at this thing here.
Okay, so Chet, you go over and look, and Roy, as that's kind of going on, I'm assuming you're just kind of like standing in the middle of the room watching them. You do notice off on kind of the right hand side from where you're standing, there's a computer screen and it's flashing. And the warning that it's flashing says, warning, hydro reactor cooling system overloaded. Manually engage flood controls to prevent shutdown.
Yeah, see, there's your problem right there.
Do I have my head slipping?
I don't know. Did you guys take your suits off when you got inside?
Do you guys still have comms?
I would assume we do. I mean, I know I kind of joined a little late in the game, but I'm pretty sure we do.
Yeah. I almost certainly would not have taken my suit off.
Yeah, next. I don't think
I will. Read the message aloud verbatim into the comms with my teammates.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like you need to manually override.
Yeah, it's a good thing some of you guys are going down there, right? Okay, so Chris, sorry, what do you want to use to try and get through this lock?
Right, let's see. Computer's engineering. Well, I guess either try with my computer skills, or if it's more just the lock itself, maybe the mechanical repair. And just see if I can try.
It wouldn't be mechanical because it's an electronic lock.
Okay. Nope. Just try my computer skills to see if I could find some way to digitally jimmy this key or this lock.
Do it up.
Okay. Sorry, it's been a while. I'm trying to remember which dice for this one.
So you're going to roll. You need your D100.
Okay.
That's what it is.
And I believe because this is this would be okay, I believe this would be intellect.
Intellect.
And then if you're using your computer Yeah, if you're using computers for this, you get 10 plus 10. And you're rolling a D100 and you're trying to roll below that.
Roll below 100. Okay. All right. Let's see what we... Here we go. I have intellect of 53, computers plus 10. I have 27.
27, nice. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. You pull out a little unit out of your pocket, and you kind of like pop off the faceplate and like plug into it, and you're kind of like twiddling around on it, and end up getting through the override kind of systems, and suddenly you hear it ding tss, as the green light flicks on and the door slides open. And Needham just kind of is just like, oh, thanks, Chet. I really appreciate that. You know, that bastard must have just changed all the codes on me.
Yeah, all it takes is just a little bit of digital jimmying, is all.
Yeah. It's just
the ability to change the codes.
Do you not call it digital chatting?
Well, I mean, yeah, I tried, but nobody, it wasn't really catching on.
As she was saying that, she steps into the room and then immediately like stops mid-sentence and is just kind of staring further into the room.
I feel like maybe we shouldn't have opened that door.
What's the worst that could happen?
Back to my question, who has the ability to change the codes?
Well, there's only one person. Who's the freaking android on this whole mission? Who can control all of this stuff?
Androids. Can't trust them.
I mean, do they even dream? Who knows? Anyway. Are you guys stepping through?
I will stand at the door, like real close to the doorway, and kind of scan into the room.
Okay, so what you see, so in typical clean room fashion, basically, behind this door is a prep room, essentially, of sorts, or a decontamination sort of room, right? Where you would essentially put on coveralls and booties and stuff in order to get into the actual clean room, which is behind another door, and there's a big pane of glass showing you into the actual clean room that is beyond. But you see through the window somebody is in the other lab. They're turned around and they seem to be doing something at a table in the middle of the clean room.
So slightly turn to Roy just to like feeling about this. Do you think we should maybe just slowly back away, or at least try to get their attention?
As you're saying that, you hear Edom under her breath being like, Ziegler? Ziegler? And she starts pounding on the glass.
I will step forward and try to calmly restrain her to, like, back her out.
As you're doing that, you hear...
The doctor, he was a biologist, that's MIA.
You hear almost like a growl from inside the room, and you hear him say, "Leave me here."
Okay.
And she's kind of like thrashing. She's like, no, you don't understand. My research is in the room through the clean room. We need to go through the clean room.
Okay.
I will get your research for you once you have been secured in a safe location.
No, look, okay. You two shouldn't go anyway. You'd end up contaminating the vault where the samples are anyway. Just stay here. Ziegler's fine.
I won't let go.
I'm sure he's fine. No, come on, Roy. I know you've only known me like 2 seconds, but just you don't have to do this. Come on.
I think Roy may be in the right here, despite his awkwardness. Lock in the door. I'm going to lock it.
Okay. Chet locks the door. And then as you guys are still continuing to have this conversation, you hear this very squishy kind of snap of bones being kind of rubbed against each other.
The person I'm restraining, or from...
No, from within the clean room.
Okay. It's like, oh no.
And we will come back to that in a second.
Perfect. Can't wait.
Meanwhile.
Towards the reactor.
Meanwhile, on Team Survival.
Yes.
Back down with Survival Squad.
Okay, so the reactor. Here we go. So the two of you met up with Sergeant Valdez. And again, her goal with this was that basically said she wanted to go and reset the reactor, and I actually slightly misspoke in that. Sergeant Valdez had already sent a group to the reactor. A number of Marines had gone down in the hopes of jump-starting it. Their locators have gone dark. So she's trying to go down and check on where they are and rescue them, hopefully.
Starting to feel less survival trained and more certain death trained.
And then prepare the reactor to make sure that nobody else dies, hopefully. And the power doesn't go off. I guess that's the thing. So, she kind of looks at the two and is just like, all right, thanks, guys. I really appreciate that, you know, you guys are helping out with this. So basically what we're going to try and do is we got to go down and we got to engage the station's upriver pumping system to stop the thing from shutting down. Gonna happen like very soon. It cannot be stopped because there's been so much flooding, and so somebody has to manually go and override it. Also, our goal is to go down there and see who all we can rescue. I think Hinton and Dr. Jensen were down there, as well as the siege squad that I had already sent through. So, we're going to basically try and go down fast through what's known as the chimney. We're going to basically rappel down ropes all the way down there. And we're going to get this thing figured out. And as she's saying that, two more soldiers kind of walk up behind her. Just like, all right, Sergeant, we're ready to go.
I'm ready.
Smoke them if you got them. You know, because we're going into a chimney.
That's funny. You're funny. Now I need to just remember how this is connected. Oh, yeah, it's the giant big reactor thing in the center. Who'd have thunk?
That could be the reactor.
So she leads you up to basically the roof of the building. You guys pull out a bunch of ropes, and the two soldiers and the sergeant throw the ropes down, get themselves all hooked up, and kind of look at the two of them and just like, all right, down we go. And they jump into the hole.
Did they help get us hooked up? Actually, I probably am okay. I'll start rappelling down.
Cool.
Okay.
Oh, basically,
look at Taylor's eyes. See if he's still in there. Start rappelling down.
Basically about 5, maybe 10 feet down from the lip, you guys are just rappelling in sheer darkness now. So I'm going to need the two of you to roll fear saves.
Do we have lights on our helmets or anything?
Aha!
I would say so, but they're not like... not casting that much light.
Okay.
I succeeded.
Woo!
13.
I failed.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
What happens with the failed fear save?
I think it's just a bump up on stress. I don't think I do any panic. I don't think I do a panic.
I want to say you do a stress roll.
I think you do.
Oh, you might be right.
You do a stress roll, yeah.
His first roll back isn't going too great.
And it was close, too.
No.
It was a 38 against a 33.
So it looks like you can on a panic check.
Sorry. So you don't have to do an additional roll, but it is a stress for failing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the fun part. As you guys have been rappelling down, you start noticing these occasional large, like, masses attached to the walls of the chimney. They look organic.
Is Valdez or the soldiers showing any interest in them?
No, they're just kind of quietly seeming to move around them. Also, at about this point, the built-in Geiger counters in your suits start to tick a little bit more frequently. And your little, I'm assuming you have a little indicator somewhere basically telling you that your level of radiation exposure is going up.
They must have radiation protection.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, okay.
But they're still just warning you that the area
is active. No, I just want to make sure that we're okay to continue.
No, that's fair.
That's the suit saying, "Don't take me off."
Yeah.
Okay. About halfway down, you notice that Valdez and the other two have stopped. They're hanging on their ropes, and essentially there's a door. There's a hatch. She kind of like motions to the two of you. I'm assuming you would have set up comms before, since now you're all in suits with helmets on. But she kind of like points her head to make sure that everybody has the comms clicked on. Then she kind of says, "Okay, so this door here is how we get into the spillway. We can choose to either go through here to then get down another set of stairs, and then kind of attack the reactor from the bottom on the other side. There should be less radiation if we do it that way, because the alternative is we keep going down the chimney here and basically find the door that leads us straight to the reactor, where we're gonna get hit with the most juice. Also, I don't know if you noticed that she pulls out a bigger, brighter torch and just kind of like shines it further down into the chimney where you guys are currently hanging, and you see significantly more of these fleshy masses attached all the way around the walls of the chimney. So she kind of like looks at you guys and is just like, "My vote's for this door."
What are those things?
You guys have seen the crab things that have been around, right? Yeah, so we've noticed that they can either come from people or they come from those things.
Ah. And they don't seem to mind the radiation?
No, they seem to love it.
Your siege, what was it? Siege squad, is that what it was called, the other team?
Mm-hmm.
They would have gone through this hatch.
Yeah, I suspect so.
And we are trying to find them.
The reactor?
Hmm?
Do we know what's wrong with the reactor? Like, can we access it well enough from that?
So the issue with the reactor angle? Is that it's flooding, right? The amount of excess water we've been experiencing recently, and due to some kind of weird malfunction with the drainage systems down around the reactor, the water is not leaving the way it's supposed to. So we sent the crew down in order to manually override and open the floodgates to remove a lot of the water, but we lost comms and clearly it hasn't been done. Right, so unless we do this, the reactor's basically going to shut off because of not being able to deal with the water. But whatever, I'm not an engineer.
All right, hatch. I am.
Great. So then, yeah, you understand, you know these things. Okay, she kind of like swings you guys over, or gets you to kind of like grab and kind of pull all of you guys over to this hatch where there's a small landing about, I don't know, 5 feet kind of extended out in front. And each of you kind of in turn comes over and comes down and oops. And you open the hatch to find the spillways of your soul. Beach to a mic.
That's all I've been hearing since you said that word.
Yes, that's fine. So the spillways is basically it's a giant tunnel that's meant to catch a lot of this water and stop it from potentially getting down to the reactor. It's flooded. It's full. And basically, so it's a giant tunnel, essentially, that the water kind of flushes down, and it's lined on either side by narrow walkways. So from this hatch, you're basically walking down one of these narrow walkways, and Valdez is kind of shining her brighter torch down through, but you can't really see the door. It's just kind of, the tunnel just kind of seems to keep going. Yeah, as you're kind of going through, Valdez, though, kind of first off says, hope none of you feel like swimming, because if any of you fall in that water, you're getting pulled right to the bottom. So, fair warning. All right, everybody, let's go. She starts marching off down the maintenance.
Can we go to the railings or something?
Yeah, probably. We'll say sure. Safety first, why not?
I mean, union rules say.
Yes. Yes, they do. You get to about halfway down, and Valdez kind of stops the group, and she shines her torch at the other side of the tunnel. So, like I said, there's a walkway on either side. And there's a body, which seems to be stuck in a grate on the walkway on the other side. It looks very mangled. And she stops and she starts talking to the soldiers. And as you two approach, she's kind of like, okay, look, somebody's got to go over and figure out who that is. Also, I don't know if you can tell from here, but she kind of flashes over again. And she's just like, see that big-ass piece of machinery that guy has on him? There's a rocket launcher, which I'd really like to get back. So, any takers?
Maybe on the way back from the reactor, fix the reactor first, salvage operation second. Plus, I don't love the idea of having a rocket launcher going off, you know, next to the reactor.
You know what? It's probably a good point. Okay. Okay. Let's make a note. You two, and she kind of like pokes one of the soldiers, just like, remember, we got to come back up. We at least need to get the dark tags off that body there, okay? Cool. And then they keep walking on. And at the end of the hall.
Sorry, can we tell mangled, like, against a grate, body's mangled, is it like, someone fell in and just the current broke them, or?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
They have, can we tell from this distance, they have those cuts all over them?
You can't tell from here. They're suited.
Okay. All right, sorry. Continuing.
All good. Yeah. You get to the end of the spillways, and you come to a rusted red door. It opens. No problem. You can squeak as it pulls open, and you find yourself in a stairwell that goes up, and it goes down.
Assume we're going down.
Yeah, Valdez said we're going down.
Yes, sir, we are going down. So, you walk downstairs. Yeah. You go down about half a story, and then you realize that the stairs continue to go down, but they're underwater. Valdez is kind of like, shit. All right, well, all of our suits should, keep us breathing under there, but all of you can swim, right?
Is that a skill? Oh, I have. Wow. I have 0G. People train in water to go to 0G, so yeah. Maybe my 0G training.
Yeah, I would say that makes sense. Mike, how you feeling? How's
not great.
How's Taylor feeling?
Not
about
feeling
that?
Good about this. Do we have tethers? Can I like tether myself to Valdez or Penn?
You got some rope. You want to tie yourself to Penn? Go ahead. Okay. So but
surely we have like clips and carabiners and things.
Oh yeah, of course.
And tethers for tethering ourselves to space stations and whatnot.
So you tether yourself to Penn, and you all start to swim down, and you find at the very bottom a hatch that seems to be jammed. And Valdez, over your comms, you hear basically say, like, shit. We gotta get through there. The reactor's just on the other side. What do we got? Anybody got a cutting torch or anything?
I do. Well, I have a hand welder, and I think I have
I have a crowbar.
Ammo for it.
Could work.
But the hand welder would work, right? Because it's a chemical.
Hand welder should work, yeah.
How
I mean,
does
Mike,
it
if
work?
if you want to use the crowbar, go ahead. You can do that.
Well, I mean, you can.
Hold on. I'll check the hand welder in here. We'll see if.
Yeah, I'm just double checking if I have ammo for it. I think I.
So I'm gonna say I'm gonna put the flamethrower down before we go underwater.
Yeah, probably a good idea. Okay.
Actually, maybe the hand welder didn't have
shit. Probably the revolver too.
Ammo.
Well, then no, probably not. So, Mike, how about you? How's your crowbar looking?
It looks like a crowbar. We'd probably use it to pry something open, like maybe a jammed hatch.
Probably. You want to do a strength check for me, there, buddy?
No, I want to give it to Valdez.
Okay. you give it to Valdez. Die. And it takes a bit. The first kind of wrench makes a loud creaking sound, but nothing really happens. And then she snaps the hatch, the door, and it creaks open again. And you find yourselves underwater in the hydroreactor room. It is flooded. Yeah, and as you've come in here, it is your Geiger counters are clicking much more now. The little UI is telling you that you've entered kind of the next bracket of potential radiation. Yeah, you guys climb up to the reactor itself, the reactor proper. And that's where we're going to stop for the moment. We'll go to the other group.
Right.
So yes, you've heard a squelching sound, as the bones are being kind of pulled apart.
We can't see back in that room, eh?
Well, you pulled her out, right?
Yeah, so, but that's where... like the door's solid.
Yes.
I suggest we don't try to find out what that is.
Something tells me it's probably Ziegler.
The two of you just do not understand. The samples that I need from in there are just, they are of astronomical importance to the human race, to evolution as we know it. I don't care what the two of you say. I'm going to get them. Where's my die? Hold on.
I
swear to God, if this doctor hits me, I'm hitting her back.
Okay, all right. Hold on. You sure there's no other way? I said, you sure there's no other way around this?
No, it's a vault. It's called the vault for a reason. There's only one way in. And one way.
I will go back.
She like tries to like elbow Roy in the face.
Not my shiny face.
And misses. She's kind of like meekly. Like trying to kick her legs and stuff. If you won't help me, then you're gonna have to knock me out to get me out of here or something.
Well, at least she's presenting solutions, not problems.
Roy, would you like to get the honors?
I will just keep restraining her and start trying to drag her back to the elevator.
So while she's still kicking and screaming, you're just dragging her to the elevator?
Yeah. I'm gonna treat her like a toddler throwing a tantrum in the middle of a supermarket.
Okay, she keeps trying. As you get back towards the elevator...
Chet, are you able to change the code again on that door so she cannot open it?
Oh, allow me to,
I mean, you undid it. I assume you can redo it. Right?
Well, believe me, there's nothing that the Chet Meister can't do, so...
Knew it.
All right, let's see what we
into the elevator.
I'm gonna crack my knuckles and just get to changing up the locks again.
He's a locksmith now. He's locksmith.
Okay. Yeah. She keeps trying. She's not able to break your grasp. And you get into the elevator. The doors close and the Mutex starts. And then she bites you, but you don't really feel it.
Okay. Good luck getting dental work out here.
She looks at Chet and she's like, Chet, come on, you're a scientist, right? You understand that this is a once in a lifetime situation we're dealing with here, and that everything that we've worked for is necessary to our understanding of this evolution, right?
I mean, yes, but also that was before. The last thing I remember was an office party, and just things all went to hell somehow. At least last I remember it.
Jeff C. Olsen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She just kind of keeps struggling, I guess, and then I mean, are you just gonna hold on to her for the whole time that you're waiting, or like what is the plan here?
I'm just gonna hold her. I can't trust her. She's gonna run back, I don't have anything to tie her up with.
Oh, hold on a sec. I realize I have something here. And Chip pulls out a roll of duct tape.
Perfect.
Handyman's best friend.
Okay.
I was once told that if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy. And I think you mentioned something about duct tape.
Not where I thought that was going. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Okay.
Okay, let's tie up this woman.
Yep.
Oh, I can see how that would have sounded bad at the start.
And that suddenly hit me too. I regret my 2025. Off to a great start, everyone.
Yep.
So in Canada, we had a show called.
Anyway, yeah. See, Hillary gets red, green. Of course, every Canadian would understand. Okay. So what? I'm assuming you're tying her up and throwing her in the back of the APC or something.
Yeah, basically.
On the front of the APC, you know, she can ride shotgun. Gotta keep her eyes on.
I'm just gonna leave her sitting, like standing up front or sitting up front in the APC. Only, I'm assuming, like tied up herself. Or are you guys sitting in the APC with her?
I assumed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
I'm seeing not actually going up. Back in there.
Just seeing if she.
Never trust an android.
My okay. Turn.
Hey, I'm a scientist and I'm not stupid. I realized there was danger in there.
Yeah, we're taping her up, putting her in the APC, and we're headed on back.
Yep,
makes sense. Okay, so the group of the five of you who are down in the reactor, you've come up, you've breached the surface of the water, and are basically so. It's a large round room. The turbine for the actual reactor is kind of peeking up out of the water in the middle, and it's flanked by a walkway, essentially, around the circumference of the room. So you guys have kind of breached and are kind of regrouping on one of the are part of the catwalk, essentially, that's kind of ringing around the inside of this large room. And as you've come out of the water, Valdez kind of points your attention to the top of the turbine, where you see two people. She's immediately kind of like, oh. Franco and Weaver, they're from the team.
Stop.
So Weaver is basically like on the laying on the top of the turbine and is like clinging around the leg of the one that they identify as Lieutenant Corporal Franco. And he's standing there basically like his vision is kind of flitting all over the room. And he's holding a GPMG. As he kind of like looks around very panicked and kind of like moves it around all over the place. Valdez calls out to them and is just kind of like, what happened? What's going on? He's just like, controls are busted. We can't fix them. Like this is a suicide mission no matter what. Kind of like, well, what have you guys been doing? He's like, the waters are infested with those stupid crab things. I'm down to 6 shots left. I don't know how much longer we can hold out.
Can we get to the controls? We might be able to.
You'd have to, to do that, you'd have to swim over to the top of the, or wait, I guess why are the controls kept? Hold on. Doesn't really specify. So I could say they're here.
I was gonna ask Valdez if the Karks could swim, but I think I have my answer. what do you say, Taylor? Should we give it a shot? If we drain this place out, do the Karks go with the water?
I mean, probably.
I like those odds.
No, until you try.
I mean, either that or we have to find a way to blast open the floodgates, right?
They're either going to go with it or they're going to stay. And if they stay, is it really different than how it is now?
That's a fair assessment.
It doesn't get worse.
Well.
Well, if we try to blast our way through, it might. Also, if we accidentally, puncture the reactor.
So as the two of you go over and you're looking at the controls, I'm going to basically say it's essentially like a computer on the kind of wall, on the level where you kind of are coming up and situated. As you guys are doing that, Valdez is coordinating with the other two. They're moving across the water to grab the other two soldiers off the top of the reactor and bring them back over. And you're looking and the controls are destroyed. Like this computer is just completely offline. It looks like it's been like basically sheared up by some giant claw.
There must be mechanical fail safes. Where would the... Oh my god. Can we see the actual drains? In the water? Or is it too dark and murky?
It's too dark and murky. I mean, that's good. That is good intuition. And I would say, I don't know, are you asking me or are you asking Valdez?
I'll ask Valdez if she would know where the manual.
Yeah, she would basically say, yeah, there's a drain somewhere down there. I don't know why it's not working. We were just talking to here as we were bringing him back across, and he said that actually it looks like Hinton fled through the drain somehow. He said he's saying he took Dr. Jensen with him down through the tunnel.
The geologist.
And that is Hinton is
the synthetic.
Yeah, that we think is
up in the mountains.
Yeah, he's up in the mountains.
Which would be a good place to have a geologist.
Yeah. As you guys are looking at this, you start to see bubbles forming up in the water.
Oh, no.
You see a large carapace start to breach the surface.
Franco, over here, you said you got six shots left?
Arthur.
Want to make it five?
And as it breaches the surface, you hear a terrible wail or a shriek through your ears. So everybody roll sanity, please. Or, well, you two roll sanity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So much for team survival.
Team survival's still alive. I also succeeded.
Okie dokie. Okay. That's fine. So yeah, this thing is currently in the middle of the pool and is starting to swim towards the group of you. Yeah, one of you's got a gun. I don't know about the rest of you.
Switches or levers or valves?
Nope. The only thing you really see around here is that on kind of the opposite side of the room, access to via this kind of gangway, there's a door, which you suspect is probably what leads to the chimney.
Hmm.
Otherwise, there's a bunch of water you could dive into.
Water everywhere.
I did double check, and when we found the welder, it had a battery with it. And I don't see like a shot count or anything on the equipment in the rule
book.
Where
does the chimney lead? Finish that thought, Nick.
I was just gonna say, if I could get down safely, I could weld and cut the floodgates. Oh, I mean, I guess I'd get pulled through if I did that. Maybe if I had a rope or some sort of anchor or something like that. Anyways.
Well, I'm thinking right now any hole will work as a drain with help.
I imagine the chimney only goes up from here, right?
It does only go up.
Is Franco shooting at the thing that's swimming towards us?
He should definitely be doing that thing. My problem is that my cat is on my dice. So
you want me to roll for you?
Hold on.
Yeah, roll for him. Roll high. What's that? 100?
100's bad.
Yeah, 100. You want?
What's that? A 1?
11 is great.
He fires, and his first shots do hit the cark, but the bullets bounce off, as you guys have seen before.
We sure have.
Didn't they say they use grenades? Grenades was their solution. I think they said that. I don't have a grenade.
What did they hit? They hit the, like, our APC was attacked. What did they hit them with when they saved us?
I think they just drew them off.
Yeah, they didn't. You didn't see them kill them.
Oh.
You guys had figured out a way to fight them. They have a weakness of hydrofluoric acid, but I'm assuming neither of you brought any.
Who does have that vial?
You didn't happen to have a frozen tumbler of hydrofluoric acid just hanging around.
Someone has a frozen tumbler of hydrofluoric acid kicking around.
I thought it was Nick that took it.
It could be. Let me double check. I don't have it in my inventory.
Maybe we used it then. We did fight one.
We loaded up the jugs of it into the APC.
Oh!
So Chris and I have it.
Oh, really?
There we go.
Really, really?
It's on could the APC, we... that means we have it.
Could we bail and come back? And probably isn't enough to...
If you vocalize that question, Valdez is kind of like, well, there's no point in coming back. Like, this is shutting down in an hour. We have no way to stop it. Unless we could try and get the water out somehow, but...
Bust a hole.
Into what? We're underground. We're underground, right?
You are underground.
It'd have to be into one of the...
The only way out is the drains.
You'll find one eventually if you blow enough stuff up.
All right, Kark's still moving towards you guys. Who's he gonna pick?
Well, good point. Could go back for that rocket launcher. Maybe you should have stopped. Maybe that was foreshadowing.
Okay. So this Kark is swimming, and it looks a little bit funny because as it's moving through the water, you realize that its one claw on its left side is this massive kind of chitinous mass just coming through the water. But the other arm looks really small, and it actually almost looks like it's got like a human hand on the end of it. Okay, so yes, Pen, the Kark is beelining right towards you, and I think this is a perfect time for us to do a panic roll.
So I noticed that Teamsters once per session can take advantage on the panic roll.
Now okay. Might be a good time for that.
Now might be a good time for that.
Might be a good time for that.
Might not be. It's entirely up to you.
Sorry, advantage here is it a double roll?
Roll twice, yeah, and take the best result.
Okay. Two successes, no critical successes, but...
But this should be...
Oh, sorry, it's not... Is it an...
panic check.
Yeah, it's an...
A panic d20, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so what is the advantage? So lower is still better, though, eh?
Yes, because you want to roll... No, you need to roll greater than your current stress.
Less than or equal to your current stress, you fail. Oh yeah, they were both successes. Sorry, it automatically tells me what's a success. Okay. A match is still a pass, yeah.
He's a pretty greater than. Nice kind of guy.
Yeah. So, the creature is bearing down on you. I'm going to give you an opportunity to basically do something quickly, potentially, before anything happens.
Ooh, the hatch behind us is now busted open, so we can't actually close. Well, I guess it can't fit through the hatch that we came in, correct? It's too big?
It can't, but you'd have to swim underwater to get back to that.
Risky.
Well, I got nowhere else to go. I mean, unless I go to the chimney door. Do I have to swim to the chimney door, too?
Nope, you'd have to run around the circumference of the room.
Then we have no way to rappel back up. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go back the way I came.
So you're going to jump in the water, like dive down and basically try and swim faster than this thing can get you.
Does that seem, with the dimensions of the space I am in, does that seem like a possible scenario at all?
I'm going to say not really.
I can see how fast it's going. Okay.
Because you're basically like, you're on the edge of a circular room. Right, that's okay. Full of water. This thing has come up and is basically beelining right towards you.
Yep.
Straight. So, you could try, and basically jump into the side of this thing and hopefully like be able to swim down before it can grab you. But no guarantee that you're gonna make that.
The other guys were safe up on the turbine, right?
Yep.
And what did we determine that my rigging gun... Is it like... It's like some sort of cord that it can fire. Can I use it like a grappling gun? I Tarzan across to the... To the turbine?
Tarzan across.
Sure, I don't see why not. Go ahead, fire the thing.
Okay. So it is an attack roll. Failure. So I guess that's it. That's my one thing that I get to try and do.
That's the end of all.
you fire like a shot basically clear across the entirety of the room, and I'm going to say that you kind of the tip of the rigging gun of the effectively a spear digs into the metal right beside the door that's on the opposite side, and you I don't know how you secure it somehow, and then you start to kind of jump and grab at the thing, and then suddenly the giant claw reaches up out of the water and just grabs you, doing... I need more d10s for this.
No! That's that never a good sign.
Damage. Given that I only have 11 health, the fact that there's more than one d10 does 14. Not bode well.
Uh-oh.
14 damage. Don't forget, your suit can...
Yeah. Oh, it absorbs some of it, eh?
Some of it.
Yeah, okay, it's... We would be in the hazard suits, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so that takes 5... But then my hazard suit is busted, so I'm immediately taking radiation and whatever
else is going on. Taking a ton of radiation!
Actually, and I'm dumped in the water, too, because I was swinging up.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm taking 9 damage, then.
Correct.
Okay.
Cool.
And you are now slowly becoming radioactive.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Mike, I'll let Taylor act.
So they pointed at where the drains were, right? When
yes.
They were saying where the other two went. I'm going to, while this thing is distracted with the pen, I'm gonna bolt for the drains.
Okay, so you dive into the water.
Yep.
And you start swimming, and you kind of like. I mean, you're underwater, so you don't hear anything else really around you. You don't hear anything kind of coming towards you. And as you swim as fast as you can in the direction that they noted, the small light on your suit, because of the small light in the suit, you start to see on the wall, on the other side of the chamber, what looks to be this massive, like, organic gash. That's just kind of sheared part of the steel that made up the wall of this reactor chamber. It's like it's been kind of sliced through and then scabbed over by this kind of organic growth. yeah, that's what you find.
So there's not even a sign of where the grate is.
You just kind of see this thing.
her look squishy, or is it?
Does it look? Does it look like how big is it? Does it look like it's
a fair
foot or
fair,
two, or like a
no? It's fairly big. It's like probably 10 feet in diameter.
In diameter.
Yeah.
It's not like a slash across the wall.
It looks like maybe it initially was. It's described as a gash. So
okay.
That's what I imagine. But the kind of the organic growth that has developed, the scab that is kind of developed, has taken on kind of more of this like circular
okay
appearance.
Yeah, but it's not like there's no clean steel
no.
to try and break through there.
No, not in the organic mass. The steel is all outside of that.
I'm gonna see if my nail gun works down here.
I don't see why not.
Well,
go ahead.
Nail gun.
But yeah, but what, it uses compressed air? If the lines are tight, would that not still work underwater theoretically?
I guess that's true. Okay, what am I doing? Sorry?
Just fire it. You said you wanted to see if it works.
Fire it. I do want to fire it. What do I do?
You're doing what you wanted to do.
I guess is that a combat roll?
Yeah. I don't know. What would I make you roll for
16?
Yeah, combat. Yeah, that should be good enough, I would say. Because you go against your combat skill, right?
Yeah, that's better than my combat.
Cool, let's pass. Yeah, you fire the nail gun underwater. And you see the nail pass through the organic gash. Through it. Doesn't hit anything. It's just like... through it.
Did it go through it?
Is the water getting sucked through if you put your hand over the hole?
That's a good question. I imagine my turn is over at this point.
Well, I mean, the other guys are basically just going to hightail it out of the room, so...
Oh, hey. Okay. Oh, cool. Yep.
Abandoning you.
Hey. I should have pushed one of them in.
Sorry, Nick, Penn's still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. So you're in the water. You should just compromised.
Yep.
You're gonna take radiation damage, which...
Yeah, I was just looking at the rules for that.
Here's the end of Penn.
Radiation.
The end.
Probably level 2 acute unshielded reactors.
No, we are on level 3.
We're on lethal? Okay.
Yep.
Oh, that sounds kind of deadly.
Yeah, we're in lethal.
Okay.
Yeah, something about the word lethal doesn't sound great. Death in 1d5 days.
That's if I don't make the save, but I have to make the save every round.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that may be a non-issue, depending on...
I mean, 1d5 days is an eternity right now.
Yeah. 1d5 seconds, maybe?
Yeah.
They're paying to get to right now.
Oh, you definitely get cancer.
No, I think I die before that happens.
Oh yeah, sorry. So did you do a body save?
I did not do a body save yet.
Yes, you gotta do a body save.
Okay. Body. Save. Failure. So I now have a lethal dose.
You do.
I will make an idea. Do you want me to roll the D5 to, or do you want to roll it and just tell me when I die? If I make it that far.
No, how about you roll it and not tell us?
Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, you don't even get to take a wound or anything. Damn, you're just... Ooh.
Ooh.
All right, well, we don't have to roll for that anymore, at least. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, am I grabbed?
No, you were just kind of clawed and then left to fall in the water.
Okay. The rest of them, I guess at this point, I can't see the rest of them?
Correct. You're now kind of like in the water. Your suit is filling with water.
Oh, that's true. I guess I gotta surface. I mean, there's no... I can't swim for the hatch because I won't have enough air. Or do I think I would have enough air to swim through the hatch and back up to air again? I know how long the swim that was.
So... You think it would be about a 40-second swim.
To get back to air?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to do it. 40 seconds I can try and do. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to try and...
Worst case, you're in a coughing fit at the end of it.
Yeah.
You already have cancer now, so...
yeah, so we'll go back to Taylor then.
All right, I'm going to follow my nail.
Okay, what are you going to do? Are you going to poke your finger and... to the hole, or
has it create? I want to. Yeah, I'm gonna walk over to the growth, and I'm gonna like look at the spot.
You're gonna swim over to the hole, and
swim over to the hole, and look at the spot where the nail went in.
It's a hole. It seems to like have punctured the fleshy mass.
Okay, I'm gonna take my crowbar, jam it in there, and try and make it bigger.
I mean, it takes very little effort. You jam your crowbar in, and it's basically like tearing cloth as you just like basically rip a huge hole in this gash, and you suddenly feel yourself pulled through based on the water, and you're deposited into a large tunnel that seems to have been bored in the rock. You're kind of like carried, I don't know, we'll say about 10-15 feet into the tunnel by the water. But as you kind of stop and you turn around, you realize that the gash has essentially healed itself back up.
Oh. Bugger. At least you're out.
I would like to take one of my frag grenades and throw it at this gash.
Okay.
His life for the gash.
I don't know. I feel like the safe distance from a frag grenade is
far
enough.
I'm
more thinking
of like the water coming through.
Wait, would it be
shorter? Whatever comes with the water.
Yeah.
Well, that is a possibility. We'll deal with that.
Too late. I already said I'm throwing it.
Some of us don't have the luxury of just closing a door on the problem.
Yeah.
Hey,
tying up and
you
are
team survival.
I'm not really sure what to do with that, so I'm gonna actually say we're gonna end it right there for the moment.
Okay.
And we'll come back next week to figure out whether the frag grenade plan works for opening
next week to find out if Mike lives.
I think that is a great cliffhanger.
Oh my gosh.
We got two characters. One character on the brink of death, one isolated and possibly
he's dead
himself.
Like
that's true.
Is dead.
He's
a no...
dead man walking.
Yeah.
Or swimming, I guess. Dead man swimming.
And then it cuts to me and Chet in the elevator just rocking out to the music with the doctor tied up with duct tape. Like, wonder what the other guys are doing. They didn't really answer us on the comms here.
This has been
probably not as thrilling.
This has been an amazing return. Thank you to those of you who hung out with us for this. Really glad we're back playing Mothership, and we'll see what happens next week. As always, I've been your warden, Cody. You can find us at Corporate Crash Course on Twitch and YouTube, and CCCRPGs on Twitter and Instagram. On behalf of the team, thanks again, and we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.